Lord, you said in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, let him open up, and I and my Father will come in, and we will dine with him." And we stand here and we sing those words, "Holy Spirit, we welcome you." In the spirit of that word from the book of Revelation, it is your everything. We talk to children of inviting Jesus into their hearts, and it gets misinterpreted as a bumper sticker on a car, making a car a Christian. But we do. We pray to you, God, come now and help us perceive and to know your heart for we who come to you as you draw us near. In your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, this is a season, still is sort of an Easter season. The Thursday ahead of us, some people would call Ascension Thursday, right? 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus walked around on the earth. And so we're getting to that point in time when Jesus departed from his followers who just got their risen Lord back. And I'm sure they began to wonder, you know, what's next? Now what will happen? We read in the scriptures. So, now what? And we'll look at that in this week and the week to come about what has Jesus said while he was resurrected Christ walking among people that we pay attention to as Christians. At the same time in the life of this church that meets in Alva, you, the church, who meets in this building in Alva, we've been going through the book of Exodus, haven't we? And so Exodus is the second book of the Bible. If you look at Exodus in chapter 7, you'll see what we read this morning when we started out. Exodus is the story of Moses leading Israel out of Egypt. A lot has been going on. God has convinced Moses, I'm going to use you. Moses didn't believe God. He didn't have enough confidence in himself that even God could use him. And God said, "Oh, you know, tell you what, when you leave, you're going to find your brother and you're going to see your brother and he's going to be happy and he'll speak for you." Moses still had trouble. God showed him almost, you know, we would call them miracles, right? These amazing, you wouldn't call them a trick because this stuff really happened. Right? His staff turned into a serpent and it freaked Moses out. He put his hand into his lapel there and took it out and it was leprous. He put it back in and it went away. Right? And poured out water onto the ground and the water turned to blood as it poured out. "Go and show Pharaoh these things. Have confidence in me. I'll be with you. Go and tell those people who are suffering that I see and that I hear and that I'm going to come to them. I'm going to deliver them from their bondage. I'm going to bring them to the land that I promised them." In this season of deliverance that is represented by the resurrection, "I have come, I have died as sin. Sin can't hold me. I'm God, and I've come to tell you about it. Go and meet me in Galilee. I'll meet you there." And after spending some time with them, "Go back to Jerusalem. Don't leave the city until the promise of the Father comes, the Holy Spirit who's been promised to you." It's the same story of people following God. The Old Testament and the New Testament is the same story of people following God. Today, 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead, God is still leading people. Are you a people led by God this morning? Do you sit here in these pews, people? Are you a person who's led by God this morning? Are you a person in bondage and slavery who needs for God to come and deliver you? Are you a person who's gotten out of that and are standing in the place in between? Now what? Now what shall I do? Where shall we go? Give us the next set of directions, sat-nav lady, you know? Except it's not this pretend gadget. It's the Lord who is real and who sees and who comes and who delivers and who brings you to where he's taking you. That's why we come to church, is it not? You haven't just come to clock time. You haven't just come for the delicious cakes that they serve at the end. Sometimes we can get distracted with each other and with our community and maybe forget who's leading us. And we'll go on through, we'll press on through, and we're going to go where we always went. I go through the door and I sit and they talk and we sing and they talk and we sing and then we nibble and then I go. I'm just going to go through, like any of the children, right, Sunday, kids' church, right, we're just going to go through. Ahead of their leader, not sure where they're being led. How often do you come to church like that? As I do, I'm the minister and I'm like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I must plug in the computer, okay. There are people at the back every Sunday who are praying as we come in. You're invited to be one of the people who comes to pray. It's not that there's a professional that does the praying and that you are with ticket waiting for the bus to leave. It's not that at all. Where are people, each of us, each one of you, potentially like Moses, who would come and bring a word from God to anyone who is in need of it? Each one of us potentially like Israel, who over the course of time has just got into the deepest rut of slavery, didn't even see it coming generation by generation. No great conquest, no great calamity, just, you know, all these years gone by and here I am, a little bit stuck. Some of you could even relate to maybe Aaron, not the one who's making it happen, the Lord, the one making it happen, not the one who's, you know, the leader, the one who's paying attention to God, who God alone is dealing with, right? But the person who comes and who makes it heard, who says it again. Moses hears it from God. Moses tells Aaron. Aaron says it again for people to hear. Maybe you can relate to that. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 7. Here's the Lord speaking. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet." Now, we'll just stop right there. He didn't make him God, did he? No. But to Pharaoh, who is this pagan, who is this worshiper of many gods in Egypt, "I've made you well worth listening to this man. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of this land." Can I encourage you, as we read through the book of Exodus, that you pay attention to what Aaron says and what Moses says, and pay further attention to what God tells them to say and what they actually say, because there's a little bit of play in between as you read the story. I find it really quite interesting and sometimes significant. God says, "You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother will tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay out my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment." Look at verse 5 particularly this morning. "The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." God makes himself known by what he does to this world that is in judgment and to the people that he calls out of the world who are his own and sets them apart as distinct from the rest of the world. And then verse 6 and 7, "Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. And now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh." How about that? The book of Exodus, chapter 7 this morning. God does impossible things with unlikely people, doesn't he?